We're all good?
You mean?
Yes, sir.
Yep, started.
All right.
All right, on three, everyone just clap, okay? One, two, three. Damn, mine was so much earlier than everyone else's.
It's fine. You just sync it up through.
Okay. Oh, I don't think mine went through.
All right, everyone, we're time. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, welcome, everybody, to the Deep Thought Podcast. My name is Yusuf. I'm joined here by one of my closest friends. We're joined by Cirque.
Yo.
Sardar.
Hey.
Menderes.
What's good?
Mert.
Yo.
And Nimit.
What's up?
All right, so all of us, we're just really close friends in real life. We've been friends for, I don't even know how long, been many years. Pretty much grew up together. What else do I say for this intro?
I mean, we could just get started with some introductions.
All right. I guess I'll start. So, how are we keeping the surface level? I don't know how deep we're going with this introduction.
Bear in mind, guys.
It's deep thought, bro. You got to go as deep.
You know what? How about I get started a little bit?
Done a podcast, so this is going to be a little...
All right, go.
But
so, my name is Cirque, a.k.a. Sirkon, a.k.a.
Seek.
Yeah, that's right. I'm the little brother of Sardar, who is also on this podcast. And when it comes to things that I'm interested in, it's definitely gaming, retro gaming, stuff like that, programming. I also am really into, you know, computer science, more on like the hardware side. But yeah, I mean, It's gonna be interesting talking about some of the topics, and I think I got a good couple ideas in mind. So that's all for me.
Take it away, Sirdar.
I'm Sirdar. I'm Cirque's older brother. I'm also known as Sir Doozy or Senator Turk HD.
Senator Turk HD, let's get it.
Just like our many friends here, I love technology. I'm all about that. I studied information systems at Temple University in Philadelphia. And I also like
sports.
We're
going to get doxxed now.
I also like sports and playing soccer with my friends weekly until Corona happened, of course. And, of course, having a good time with my boys. On you, Yusuf.
All right. My name is Yusuf. I don't have an AKA. Okay.
What about Father John?
You Smurf?
No, those are in the past. That's in the past. I don't do that anymore. That's the old me. I'm a new man. Anyways, I also love video games. I'm sort of into computers, building it a little bit, not as much as Cirque, but I dabble in a little bit, follow technology a little bit. Free time, I don't really do much other than gaming. I don't know. Maybe work, I guess. I mean, that's not really my free time, but yeah. I also study at Temple with my boy Sir Doozy. And that's pretty much all you guys need to know about me.
I'm pretty sure all of us went to Temple. So
that's literally
every single one of us. Actually, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Who didn't go to Temple out of all of us?
I think everybody did.
Not just like everyone Emre. Here, but like...
So far, like, it's just Emre.
So far, it's just Emre. Yeah.
But he's not with us here today. So.
But I guess I'll take it over. I'm Menderes, aka Mendy. I really just go by Mendy. Like the guys were saying, I went to Temple as well. Right now I'm at East Stroudsburg. We're in Philly. I mean, not Philly. We're in PA, by the way. So, but I also like gaming. My sort of gaming is very different from the rest of these guys, but I think I have some knowledge in those topics as well. Not that big into tech, really, but I'm more on like the exercise science kind of field. I'm all about the good vibes. So I'm just here to have a good time with the rest of these guys. So that's pretty much it for me.
All right, I guess it'll be me. I'm Mert, also known to autocorrect as Meat. I go to Temple University. I spend most of my time attempting to be active, but failing usually. But most of the time, I'm just gaming. It's pretty much
it. We're all gamers here.
Yeah. I think we can accept that.
Kind of. FIFA doesn't count.
Anything else you'd like to add, bro?
True.
FIFA doesn't count.
Boys, let's not start.
All right, Emmett.
Am I the last one?
Yep.
All right.
Best for last.
So my name is Umit, known to autocorrect as Unit. let's see. I just got my master's in social work, and I'm currently studying to get my licensure to be a licensed social worker. Working to become a therapist. So mental health is a big focus for me, and I'm always fascinated by different mental health issues and sort of working in different therapy styles. So that's sort of where my bread and butter is, but I also play lots of games. I was the first one that went to Temple. These are all copycats who followed in my footsteps.
What?
Fake news.
I mean, you're our idol.
This is actually the founder of Temple himself. Right?
Yeah. I'm the founder of Temple. I'm the owl that you guys see everywhere. If you look up at Temple. But yeah, so that's me.
Cool.
All right. So now that everyone's introduced themselves, I guess we'll just start off by talking about a topic that, you know, it's just interesting. It's been floating around for a while now. It's just about privacy issues and the way companies collect data, our own data, whether it's Facebook, Microsoft, Google, and pretty much any company that anyone that where the services you use, they all collect data. And yeah, like, is there anything you guys want to say right off the bat? Anything interesting you guys read of in the news lately about this specific topic?
I would just like to start by asking how each of us is integrated when it comes to things like, you know, home devices like, you know, Google Home or Alexa, things that really collect your data. Of course, we all use Google all the time. So when it comes to...
I use Yahoo.
I just wanted to like get a good idea of like what exactly everybody has in their setup at home or whatever, because it kind of does tie into privacy concerns. So I mean, what do you guys have like Google Home and at home or anything?
So like I said, I'm not really that big into tech stuff, so you guys are gonna have to help me out here. But I mean, yeah, like I have a Chromebook at home that I use, and so is cloud, would that be something that would that
yeah
be?
I mean that definitely counts because most of your documents are stored online, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, but I think yeah, that's kind of it for me pretty much. Wait, Yahoo's I'm on still the same a thing boat. Though
what'd you say,
what's up?
Oh
yeah, it. Yahoo's still a thing.
Yeah, Yahoo's a thing.
Yahoo like failed so many times.
A lot of people
like,
still
I think
use...
they almost bought Google for like
yeah they could have bought Google for
I think
for like
people...
3 million or something like that. Yeah,
a lot of
yeah.
people are still using their mail client, so I think that's what keeps them on Yahoo.
I feel like
yeah
people
my mom,
just
yeah, my mom does that.
My mom's the same.
Yeah. I feel like people accidentally use Yahoo, like they just happen to stumble to the Yahoo
yeah,
homepage
right.
and it stays at their yeah, homepage right. for like years.
All right, I'll be honest, Yahoo is my homepage.
We got a boomer over here.
Look, it's just because I love their news articles, right? Because, like, the people who comment on Yahoo news articles are, like, crazy people of society. So it's just so fascinating to go into these and, like, read it. Like, you'll, like, it could be, it's a post, let's say, like, on Kim Kardashian, and literally the comments are like, who the hell is this? Why do I care? Why is this news? And then you'll have like something like political related, and you just have like absolute people bashing each other, calling like each other apes and chimps and like
what
stuff.
What the fuck?
Yeah, the Yahoo News comments are wild. Never click on a post about Muslims. I'll tell you
oh,
that right
boy.
Now.
Oh man.
Do you like do TMZ. You guys know? Do you guys know Ken M?
Yeah, like
yeah,
no,
yeah,
my
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He usually God lurks. I don't know if he still lurks around Yahoo forums or whatever, but he used to do that shit. It was so funny. For people that don't know Ken M, he's just this no one really knows who he is. It's like this account with the avatar is really like an older guy with his dog, and he just like comments not like mean or rude stuff. It's just like it's like something the Onion would write, like some absurd comment that like makes no sense, and like people will like he's like obviously trolling, but people will literally fall for it every single time. There's always someone that responds to it in a serious manner, and like they just get pretty much like clickbaited or trolled into having a conversation with them. Okay.
Yeah, I only use Yahoo for like Yahoo Answers for like homework problems.
Right. And you Google, you Google that.
That's the only time. Yeah, you get Yahoo Answers and you just look up like math problems or something.
Even Yahoo Answers got like kind of taken over by like Quora or even like Reddit, I would say. Yeah. A lot of people, a lot of Google results redirected those nowadays.
And for me, it's Stack Overflow.
Stack Overflow.
Yahoo Answers is like the free version of Chegg.
Right.
Are you serious?
Yahoo Answers was my thing. Back in high school, when I took AP Chemistry, bro, they had all the answers on there for all the freaking tests in AP Chemistry and everything. Like, it was perfect. Like, I hated the homework assignments for AP Chemistry, but all the answers were always online. On Yahoo Answers, always.
Yeah, it's oddly enough surprising because I haven't seen it show up on, like, any Google results, like, lately, rather than, you know, Quora and even Chegg and stuff.
Bro, Chegg was like a necessity in like undergrad for me. Like, just as like biochem, like a lot of the sciences were on there. So me and like a couple of buddies would like split the cost. I think it was like $15 a month.
See, that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like almost like a Netflix because like we were constantly using it. That like 1 month I'll pay for it, 1 month another person would pay for it, and like that's literally how I got through like the like bulk of my assignments.
Right,
dude, that's so smart.
So
that's what you got
to
do.
Kind of want to move back to the topic at hand.
Yeah, right.
When it comes, so these devices that you have in your homes for maybe like smart home activities or you know just general information, like as far as we know, they're not actively listening to what we're saying. But you know, that's
they're
you know,
always listening.
Right.
Always. And listening. How are they gonna hear your voice command if they're not always listening?
That's a good point. Right.
That's true.
Though
they constantly.
Actually,
go on.
I'm sorry. Yeah, like, even Alexa on the Alexa app, I personally have one in my room, and, like, you could see, you literally have to go into the settings, and it's right there in the settings. You could hear each and every single one of your past recordings within the past, I forgot however many days or months or whatever, but it's literally, like, you hear your own voice from the distance, so it's always, like, listening, essentially.
Wait,
always...
show you the what it records?
Yeah, like, it's literally, it's funny, because I gave it a playback.
Wait,
like
fuck?
A couple weeks ago, and it's like I literally heard my own voice through that recording because they keep every single recording from you, and it's like it's interesting because I didn't realize how far away my voice was from the mic because I usually shout at it from my bed and I'm like, hey Alexa, like turn off my light or something like that, and it had that recording in the app, which was pretty funny, and like my voice was pretty distant to it, but I mean it, like you said, it's always listening because it's waiting for that like Alexa or hey Google command and whatnot.
Yeah, mine hears mine from like up the steps, and I don't even yell that loud, so
yeah.
Wait, so you have headphones on right now, right?
Yes, I do.
Dang, I was gonna yell at Alexa to go buy something.
Alexa, buy a 10 gallon of lube.
What?
I mean, now, my commands are pretty mundane, to be honest. I just tell it to like open and close my light every night, so it doesn't really bother me about like, but again, like the privacy issues, like it's very complicated. I think I feel like I was telling this to somebody last year, it's like a trade-off between essentially like the conveniences that it gives to you,
right,
and then you're trading off like I guess some of your privacy or whatnot, whether it be Alexa or Google or any of the Google services. I'm pretty sure we all use like Google Maps, Google location data, history, and whatnot, and like everything else.
Bro, I feel like it's so hard to have privacy nowadays.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's. I feel like it's that hard that like we all fed into it, and now it's like, since the majority of people are in it, I'm sorry, you don't really feel like stepping out and being different.
One of the things that helps that it doesn't really get any better is that most of the general public does not really care, or they just don't know that their privacy is compromised with newer technologies. And so since they don't know, it's more like a vocal minority that has these like issues that they bring up, and the companies aren't going to really lose much if they just keep going with their practices, and they're just going to keep profiting off of the average consumer because they really don't think about what their privacy is worth and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's always interesting. Like, I myself don't own any of that stuff because I don't want something to always listen on me. Like, when it comes to, like, Google Maps, for example, I went into the settings and I don't let it keep track of my previous locations. Like, I have all that turned off. And, like, everything, like, I don't have anything backed up to a cloud besides like photos. My phone automatically takes and backs up. Like besides that, everything is sort of in a physical version.
That's pretty interesting. Most
for myself, like I don't know. The only bad thing I'd say is I still have a Facebook account, which I know is probably leaking my data constantly.
I got rid of that like so long ago.
I just haven't talked to my family in Turkey.
What? Yeah, that's like the only one thing I would say that like Facebook for like anybody in general really is, especially if you have a lot of family that's far away, it helps you out a lot in the keeping communications with them, talking with them, you know, every once in a while. Aside and from that, I really don't see, yeah, pretty much all of us, but it doesn't just have to be people in our shoes where we have family that's outside the country, even people like just Americans here that have even their entire families here in the country, but they're on the other side or maybe a state or two over where they can't, you know, see each other on a regular basis.
Yeah, it also helps keeping track of birthdays. Like out of everyone here, I think I only know two people's birthdays by heart.
I mean, ours everything is else, like pretty close.
Facebook. Bro, including I honestly brother, forgot or... everybody's birthday in this chat.
Including my brother, I do know him.
All right.
I know my brothers and Yusuf's by heart.
That's because ours is like a week apart.
I got you, bro.
Yeah.
You have a 50-50 chance of guessing it right.
Dude, the funny thing with Facebook is like, well, not just a funny thing, but like a lot of people from, some people from our generation, a lot of people from the younger generation, like they don't really use it. And of course the media like realized and figured out that there's always privacy issues and whatnot. But like they made a lot of moves like by acquiring like Instagram and WhatsApp, like that almost everybody else uses, and you know they're like
it's huge
and it's crazy because like we'll also be using those services, which is under Facebook now, and it's like the people that may hate Facebook or not like Facebook are using those services without even realizing that it's owned by them, so it's like it's almost inescapable really.
Yeah, but thankfully, well, I don't know how much I should believe this, but WhatsApp does say it's end-to-end encryption.
Right, yeah, that's the hard thing. Like, it says that.
That was only recently, too.
Yeah, that was a change. I don't know if that was right before Facebook bought it or if it was after, but it's been saying that for a while now. But, you know, that's why I still use WhatsApp, but I don't even have an Instagram account, so.
I feel like a problem is that you can never completely keep your privacy in check. So, you know, the only way you can do that is if you just get rid of every single device in your household or whatever, which obviously nobody really wants to do. It's not like you're going to go off the grid just to unless value your privacy. So you got to give it up at least a little bit, it seems like, these days.
Unless you're Amish.
Right.
Or anarchists. There's like this huge anarchist group in Montana that's like completely off the grid because like whenever they're caught, the police automatically arrest them because they don't have a driver's license or anything. Because there's literally no records of them in the government. No birth certificate, no nothing. They're 100%. Like,
that's wild. Bro, that's wild.
Hidden.
I did not even know that.
Yeah, I was watching a documentary on them just the other day, and they're pretty interesting people, you know? Completely off the grid, they are constantly in jail because they have no identification, so they keep getting arrested for driving without a license and all this stuff.
Bro, that's so weird, because, like, we're in, like, 2020 now, and, like what Cirque was saying, like, you can't, I feel like it's, like, almost kind of impossible to, like, not have, like, your information out in one way or another, you know what I mean? Like, we have so much technology, yeah. And it's just, like, so easy to have these social media accounts. Like, honestly, before this conversation of privacy settings, like my stuff is like completely open. Like,
it's vanilla.
Yeah. But I never once thought about like going into the settings and like turning off like my locations on maps or whatever. Like, dude, all that is open.
Yeah, didn't I just recently tell you your Snapchat shows exactly where you are?
Right. You did tell me that.
Yeah, everyone can follow you.
And how many millions of people have that enabled without even knowing? So
yeah,
is it automatic?
Right. I believe
you have
to
disable it. I thought it's still automatic.
It has to be automatic because I never, like I said, I never go into my settings to like change it. You know what I mean? But
it was at the time they released it. It was definitely automatic because I remember like my friends like, oh, I can see where you are. I was like, what the heck? What do you mean you can see where I am? It's like go on the Snapchat and you can see where everyone is. And I was like, oh, frick, instantly turn that off.
Yeah, that's Yeah, that's the thing is, like, that's another shady thing that companies do. They'll have, like, something that, like, I mean, obviously we're talking about Snapchat. Like, you know, they have that type of feature automatically enabled. Like, that's something that I feel like a lot of people, you know, if not everybody, would agree that it's something that should be where you opt in rather than you have to opt out by default. You know, so, like, it should be something, like, that's, I feel like it's just that important of a decision that you shouldn't have it defaulted to it when you sign up for the accounts.
Yeah, that kind of leads into the thing I just wanted to bring up. Things like, you know, organizations like the European Union actually do try to, you know, improve people's privacy situations. And so, like, a lot of these, like, opt-in rules and stuff are, like, placed in by the European Union a lot of the times. So,
like that cookie thing.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So they're very, we got to be thankful for them because it does affect the entire world when they do that.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool, actually.
Wait, what do you mean by the cookie thing?
Whenever you go to a website, you now have like a pop up that says, do you accept the cookies?
Oh.
On this website, that was done because of the European Union.
Oh, I don't even know that.
Yeah, when they passed that, like, I got spammed by like 100 emails from different companies who I signed, who I like had my email from. Who knows how many years ago, be like, hi, we're changing our terms of services because we have to comply with this. And I was like, oh, thanks for reminding me you exist, unfollow.
That, yeah, usually is under what they call, I think, the GDPR or the General Data Protection and Regulation Rules of Europe.
Look at this guy knowing his acronyms.
Wow. Is that how you get the ladies?
You don't want to talk to them, you know, in acronyms?
Don't out my secret. Don't out my secret. He's only talking
about that. Hey, baby, you want to know about the IRS, Internal Revenue System? Huh?
I thought it was services.
It probably is services. This is why I don't get the ladies like
You're making me blush.
So yeah, and speaking about like privacy and stuff and all this data that's being collected. Recently, probably past couple of months, I actually read an article and it was talking about how there's so much data out there that literally there's like these companies don't know what to do with the data. Like all they can do is really just store it. There's no way for them to really organize it and get like maximize the like the data that they get from it and like the usefulness out of it. So like it's literally they literally have like trillions and trillions of like data points and like probably even gigabytes worth of data that's just sitting on in their servers with like that's just collecting dust, quote unquote, like, you know, so to speak, not necessarily like physically, but
I mean physically because it is stored on a physical server at the end of the day.
That's true too.
Funny enough, I believe that that's literally just called big data or big data.
Yeah,
it's basically like, you know, just too much data to handle for like the typical like a typical system or typical program nowadays. Essentially, it's just like you said, it's just an excess amount of data for many companies, which
and what these companies or the bigger companies are trying to actually develop ways to handle that data. So things like Google, for example, obviously one of the biggest companies to deal with data collection. When you look at apps like Google Photos, for example, if you use it, they literally save all of your photos onto their server. And think of how many millions of people use this data, use this service to store their photos online. What they do is they are able to develop some algorithms to basically improve the way that photos are taken. I'm sorry. And they use it on the devices they release. So, for example, I have the Google Pixel. And they use data from Google Photos to improve the things like high dynamic range and like, you know, edge detection and stuff like that in photos. So these companies, like, they got to develop, figure out ways to actually manage this data, of course, like you said.
Yeah, I feel like whoever really comes out on top when it comes to managing this data will have like so much power. Just like over, you know, just these not necessarily over these companies that have this big data, but be able to like profit so much out of it. Because like companies like we're just talking about Google, Microsoft, Facebook, they're really just focused on trying to maximize their profits whether it's whatever, with whatever services they provide and products. Like a third-party company can come in easily and just like, they can just sell off this data, and these third-party companies can start organizing this data. And then whether it's specifically for these companies or this data is actually sold off completely, like the rights and stuff, which actually I don't even know how legal that would be. But like in a scenario like that, like you then it, a whole company would have like control over, you know, millions and millions of people's, you know, whether it's personal information or just useless information mixed in with it.
The funny thing is, not exactly data related, but like just not one company, but a few, just a select few companies have control over millions of people's like livelihoods. Like speaking of like Microsoft, Amazon, and even Google, when they have their cloud services and they, you know, host, obviously, they're pretty much servers essentially for almost pretty much the entire part of the internet. Like some days one of them might go down as a system service, or one of them might have an issue, and then all of a sudden you'll see like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, whichever like application or website runs off of it, they're all down at the same time. And it's crazy because it affects so much internet traffic and like everybody's livelihood. Like the small amount that it may go out per year or whatever, it just, you know, it's insane how much is under the control of like, let's say like Microsoft or like Amazon and whatnot. But that's what brings them in a lot of cash flow also. It's like almost behind the scenes that we don't even notice. We know they're consumer products, but like a lot of times people don't realize like Microsoft Azure or Amazon Web Services, the cloud and whatnot. Like Netflix is always running off of Amazon Web Services and others. And it's like they have pretty much control of like everything, and they must always keep like compliant with everything and keep stability and whatnot.
Actually, have just now seen... I had a bit of a thought, a bit of a deep thought, as you may say. And basically, these companies make money. They make a profit off of, you know, collecting data, whether they're, you know, selling it or improving their products. And they in turn design products that conveniently collect more data. So you're even put into like a more, or you get more of your data taken from this company if you buy their product. So it's a bit of a, you know, you kind of dig yourself into a bit of a privacy hole.
Feedback loop.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just going to keep collecting your data.
But like, what can you do though? Like you can't, like, you know what I mean? Like you can't do anything.
Don't order from Amazon.
Essentially, like I was saying earlier, it's basically like a trade-off between your privacy and like the convenience factor of like having, you know, millions and billions of results on Google search or like Google Maps, like knowing everything about, like, you know, you even go on Google Maps and you'll have your home set, your workplace set and everything. It's like everything right there, list the nearest restaurants and knows where your location is.
I guess it just comes down to like weighing the pros and cons of it. Like, you know, like the convenience you're talking about, like, is the convenience of it like worth that sacrifice of privacy sort of thing? And I guess if you ask me, like, it is, you know, because like all my privacy is out there, but like, I mean, God forbid anything happens, but like, I'm good right now. Like, nobody's trying to like ruin my life in any way, but like, but I can't even imagine like not having these services, you know what I mean? So it's like the convenience is just too strong, I feel.
What you just said of like, nobody's like taking advantage of my data and my information, like, it reminded me of this episode on the show Catfish
that came out. Oh my god, yeah.
There was this girl who stole this other girl's complete information off of her Instagram and Facebook and like made a profile with all the same photos and everything and claimed to be the original and the other's fake. And she was like talking to all the students that go to the same school, you know, because they say what school they were listed at. And she would like call them awful names, pretending to be this girl. And like this girl's like whole life was getting ruined by someone she doesn't even know because they just took all of her information and just started like messaging people from her school.
I mean, yeah, that's like an extreme case of like where it, you know, where it backfires, because, you know, you don't expect that to happen to you, but when it does, it's like, holy crap, like when did this all happen? But yeah, I mean, dude, but think about that. Like, you literally, also, do you guys get like weird friend requests from people on Facebook that like have zero friends and like,
Not anymore.
Dude.
You mean like bots?
Yeah. Like,
oh, how does my that Facebook work? Sent like, to they, like, have friends of friends can only add me.
Oh. See, I didn't even know that was a thing. I should probably check my studies. But yeah, like, I guess that might even go into this, like, discussion. Like, I'll get, like friend requests from people on, like, Facebook that, you know, I have no mutual friends with, and it's like, you click on their profile and like their profile picture is like 8 minutes ago. So it's like fresh. And it's just, yeah, it's just random people. Like, do they take these pictures? And it looks like real people, you know what I mean? Like, do they take these pictures from like just random real life people and just like, I guess, imposter as them?
Actually, it might be fake because there's literally a website that generates fake human faces. I don't know if you guys ever seen that.
That's crazy.
I can't remember if it's called like thispersonisnotreal.com or some shit like that.
What?
And it literally AI that generates like human faces that are fake, and it looks so real. It's insane.
Wait, so it generates
for other animals too, but those do not work. You can do like this cat is not real, or this dog is not real, and those do not work as well as the human faces. Like, their legs will be messed up, or like their tail is in a weird position.
We probably just like have that. More photos of people than animals.
Yeah, I don't want to like take away from the discussion too much, but I just linked it. And basically, every time you refresh, it just generates a new face.
Yeah, I see. That's really creepy. That is insane. But going back to the point with like Mendy was saying, like random people are just sending him like friend requests on Facebook. I feel like it can be people, like actual people behind it, trying to catfish people, whether it's for whatever reason it is, stealing money, try to scam them. But at the same time, for all we know, it could be someone that's working on like some proprietary like AI software that they created, and like to see like how if anybody can discern it from like it being a robot or actually being a human. And because people like well-known companies have done this, like Microsoft with the that Twitter account where it was supposed to be like an AI, that one crashed and burned. It took 24 hours.
Didn't that turn
hours.
Into a Nazi?
Yeah, 24 yeah. hours. It became like a Nazi feminist hating freaking AI Twitter account. It was crazy. They like shut it down almost like within the first day that they released it.
Dude, this website is crazy.
Did you check thiscatdoesnotexist.com?
No, I've been checking this person does not exist. And every time you refresh, like it literally so shows you like a real, yeah. like...
I posted the this cat does not exist right under that one, and one is not as accurate. Like, if you look closely, like, things are blurry, the eyes are mismatched, and, like, the cat paws look awkward.
Oh my god, what even is right. that?
Okay, all right. Going back to the topic. Sorry. All right, let's get back to the topic real quick. Okay, so big data, just going back to big data and, like, Facebook specifically, I'm sure you guys might have seen, like, the trial that Mark Zuckerberg was in. With like the whole like he was being questioned about like how his company works and the data that they collect and things like that. And I feel like the thing is, I don't agree with the way Facebook handles their data collections and how they sell it and you know, to other people and companies. But the thing is, at the same time, these senators and congressmen that were questioning him and interrogating him on like his company and how it works, I feel like they were very out of touch too with technology and how any like the services that people use, social media and other accounts, they don't really know too much about it. Like, this one guy was asking about I think it was like different categorical points, and like he was like asking like a very vague question, and Mark Zuckerberg like understandably he was like, I don't really understand the question, Senator, can you elaborate more on it? And like, and I just feel like at the same time, our legislators need to understand more about technology, especially if they're going to pass laws and regulations on these services and these companies.
Bro, they're our grandpa's ages. Like,
yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Have you had your grandparents try to use technology? Like,
no, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Like, these like are a lost cause.
Yeah, it's like imagine your own grandfather or grandmother literally just trying to make a law on, you know, iPhones, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is. Like, they don't know, they barely know anything about it.
I agree with that, because there's actually, like, a video on there related to Mark Zuckerberg, actually, but, well, Mark Zuckerberg's hearing, whereas it was Google CEO Sundar Pichai, I probably
butchered his name. Yes, I was actually gonna bring that up.
Yeah, it was funny because one of the congressmen was holding an iPhone, but obviously since he's Google CEO, like he asked me, he's like, "So are you tracking me right now using this iPhone?"
Bruh.
And the CEO of Google obviously was like, "Well, I don't. My company doesn't manufacture that phone. That's not mine. So, you know, how am I supposed to do that?" Yeah.
Yeah. What he specifically said was, he's like, "I would have to take a look at your phone to see if you have any of our service location settings enabled." And then the guy was like, the congressman got so upset about it. He's just like, "Do you or do you not?" I'm like,
"Yeah,
all right, go. Dude, you need to relax. Like, this man's trying to give you an answer." Like,
and he was being honest. So
that does bring up your point, you know, like, because they're out of touch, and it's like, you know, like you said, they're like our grandparents' age because they're super out of touch. So the regulations and whatnot.
Like topics like these are just very. Like, a lot, I feel like a lot of people think it's just cut and dry, and it's not. There's like so much gray area and like different things that like you can agree or disagree on, and like, or how to regulate it. It's just, there's just so much complexity involved in it that there's really no right or wrong answer.
And like, obviously money is like a big part of it, like regarding all of this, because like, for instance, with the FCC and stuff and like other companies, whether it's like Facebook, Apple, Google, even like telecommunications companies like T-Mobile or AT&T and stuff, they get away with a lot of things. Sometimes they don't, sometimes they do get caught up, but a lot of times because they have so much money, or, you know, a lot of collusion happens in the background, we never know what goes on, and it's like they can get away
with
a lot
of stuff. There is no collusion.
There's no collusion?
No collusion.
Between who?
I'm assuming you're going to be, so you're being sarcastic, but...
Yeah, that's what our president said all the time. I mean, like, there's no collusion.
People really hate on the FCC chairman or whatever, that Ajit Pai or whatever.
Ajit Pai.
Oh, man. what did you just call him Ajit Pai?
Yeah, people are fucking memeing his name when the whole neutrality thing was going on.
Dude, he's
It was mainly Reddit and, like, Imgur. They're calling him Ajit Pai.
Whatever happened to net neutrality? I feel like it was a thing and then just, like, stopped.
States are passing their own laws now, slowly.
Against it or for it?
Against it. Like, both. I know California... Actually, yeah, probably both. I haven't really been keeping track of it too much. I just know one of the first states to pass something was California. And I think it's pretty much brought it back. Like, the net neutrality that was existing before, they brought that back. But it's only specific to the state.
What is net neutrality, for those of us that don't know?
Someone want to explain its technicality in detail?
It's been so long that I kind of forgot.
It's like, I'll try. It's like basically the principle that ISPs like Verizon or Xfinity or whoever your internet provider is, it's like treating all internet communication equally. So it'll be like,
oh yeah, exactly.
It could be like different data packages of like messaging services like WhatsApp, Skype, Hangouts being separate and being separate from a package such as social media like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and you have to basically pay for these separately. It's kind of interesting.
At the same time, it could be like, let's say for example Verizon, they have a pretty big stake in a certain social media company, or maybe they invested a lot in YouTube, and what they could do without net neutrality or any type of regulation, they could throttle the speed for bandwidth and like for certain services that are competitions to the companies that either they own or are investing in. So if they own a part of Facebook, they could throttle Twitter, for example, or other social media accounts. Or if it's YouTube, maybe they'll throttle Vimeo. I mean, YouTube really doesn't have a huge competition, but that's just you get the point that I'm making.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a real world example of this where like basically what the ISPs were doing was like talking to Netflix, and they're like, "Pay us money or else we'll throttle Netflix for everyone's services. And so people will leave it unless you pay us money." There's literally like extortion from Netflix, and Netflix refused. For a time, there was like, they were getting throttled by certain providers during certain peak times and stuff like that. And so that was like, it's like a real world example where it actually happened. Because sometimes like you talk about this hypothetical and people are like, "Well, look, we don't have net neutrality. It didn't happen." But there are certain things, like if you run a business at any time, if they don't like what you're doing, they can be like, "We're going to throttle your business, anyone that tries to come onto your web page, unless you pay us."
It's like black.
And it's...
Damn.
Yeah, sort of, kind of. And at the same time, it isn't even just like... it wouldn't be just the ISPs that are doing it for their own personal gain. I wouldn't be surprised if they come out with like their own not necessarily like a front page service, but like a back, like a back of the store service where they would offer it to certain companies to, like, you know, let's say like a local company, they would pay Verizon a certain amount of money and have it so their services or their website gets more bandwidth than everyone else in that area.
Right.
Which would obviously be hindering free market competition, which is against pretty much what this this country stands for.
The worst part is like free market competition is hard in like the internet provider world because it's like Xfinity is like pretty much everywhere and they have so much control over everything, even over like Fios and whatnot. Like,
yeah, it's that's because they literally own the lines. Yeah. Like, yeah, they own the internet lines. That's what makes it so hard. Like, for example, when Google was coming with Google Fiber, right, they had to put in all new lines in the ground to start their own internet service provider. And it was so costly. It was so much effort. They had to argue with so many people to get their lines put in because you have to dig up the roads and stuff like that. That, like, that's why Google Fiber sort of stopped expanding as much as it used to.
Exactly.
I think they put it on halt, like, completely. And it's been like, yeah, a good few years since, yeah, then.
Yeah. And I think it was like, depending on which service package you purchase from Google Fiber, I think it was like the low tier, you would also have to pay an additional $300 initial fee to have the line installed. Now, I know it wouldn't cost $300 for that line to actually be installed. It'd be probably so much more because you have to have the heavy equipment to come and dig up the ground. Even if there's like concrete too, then you would need even more heavy equipment. Same time, you have to pay people. I feel like it was that low because of the Google Fiber has to go to these cities and get approval as well. And I'm sure they got some sort of funding from these cities' budgets too, just to have their lines installed.
I mean, I forget which state, but like multiple states. Or I think it was the federal government gave money to like Comcast Verizon to like update their lines and like gave them billions or millions or something. And then in the end, they didn't update any of them. They just kept the money.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember hearing that as well.
It's not really surprising, sadly, but
I mean, luckily we have a good amount of competition. And by competition, I mean it's two companies in the area. So a lot of people are just stuck with Comcast. And if they have a problem with it, they're just...
Yeah, I'm stuck with it. This apartment complex only has Comcast. Yeah, pretty annoying.
It's a shame.
They have like those deals with the apartment complexes and stuff. And it's like... And then in the end, like 2 or 3 years, once your contract or, you know, agreement is over, it's like they raise the prices, claiming it as equipment fees, or they're like, you know, hey,
yeah,
your prices go up and you're stuck with that, essentially.
It's so dumb.
There was this YouTuber, I forget his name. It's been a while since I watched any of his videos, but he's like out in like the Midwest in a rural area, and he only has Verizon. And Verizon... For I think he was getting like at most like 50 up and down, and Verizon was charging him $350-$400 a Yikes. Month for his internet service, and he couldn't do anything about it. He spoke with them so many times, like explaining to him that like he needs this, like why is he being charged so much, and like the customer service would literally, they wouldn't even like help him out at all. Like, it's,
I mean,
just,
they don't have to. He has no other choice. He's gonna be stuck with Verizon no matter what. So why negotiate?
Yeah, that's the sad part.
I mean, looking at it from their standpoint, it does make sense to not really give a shit and just like make him pay for it. But like, it's just awful. Like these companies need to be, you know, have some sort of like proper regulation and like brought forth and like break it up and, I don't know, make it so it's more equal for everyone, no matter where you are.
Speaking of internet companies, moving a bit back to what we were talking about earlier, constant connectivity as well as increased speeds definitely keep you on the network a lot more than you used to be. I know that, you know, people stream Netflix a lot rather than buying DVDs. You go on YouTube all day or the internet all day. And if there's no limits based off, like, you know, how fast you can browse. Because, like, back in the day, I remember, like, internet used to be slow enough so that sometimes I'd be like, man, I don't feel like going on the computer right now because web pages take a little long to load. Let me just go outside.
Someone's on the phone. Yeah, and you can't get on the internet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So all of your devices are constantly connected, and it just keeps you on the internet quite a bit more. So you're, once again, losing your privacy.
Yeah, like who isn't on their phone when they're on the toilet?
Exactly.
You can own a Switch, maybe.
I
don't know, man. I'll be having some deep thoughts on the toilet.
Damn, bro. Bring it to the podcast. Not in the
shower? Just in the toilet?
No, in the shower.
On the toilet, not in, but... He stands in the toilet.
He makes sure he's in the bowl.
Yeah, in the toilet, not on the toilet.
He puts his head in the toilet and just starts saying,
he gives himself
it echoes.
What do they call that? When bullies, like the stereotypical bullies, would shove your head in the toilet and flush.
Wait, they would?
Oh, I totally forget.
Is there a word for that?
Yeah, it's like a swirly.
Swirly, yeah.
That's what it was.
I've never seen that happen ever.
I've only seen that in TV shows, just Hollywood in general, like that.
You know what I was thinking the other day? Like, how do people get bullied nowadays? Like, is that like
bullying
on the internet? Cyberbullying.
No, like how do, like, okay, that was a very
kids nowadays do.
But like,
Do they have new techniques instead of sticking their head in the toilet? Like, is it like they throw their phone in the toilet?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm sure they still do the same thing.
Putting someone in a locker.
It's just like internet shaming.
The lockers were too small at my school to ever fit someone in.
Because when I think of bullying, I think of like, you know, this one, you know, the loser kid who's like, you know, in like the dead end of an alley and like five bullies like pull up on him with like
stones. What happened to you, bro?
You okay, Mendy?
That's Hollywood for you, bro.
Why do they have stones?
They start stoning him to death.
What is this like? Is this like England 12 like in like 1200s or something like that?
It's like Saudi Arabia found you guilty. It's like the bullies are like, we're gonna stone you now.
Damn.
Oh man.
But I think nowadays bullying isn't really actually, I mean, I haven't gone to any schools to really observe this.
I mean, from my experience working in a school with kids, like, it's a lot of cyberbullying. Like, they'll talk trash on each other on the internet, like, to the friends, and then the person will hear about it, and then they, like, break out into a fight in school, where they'll start, like, wailing on each other. But it always starts online. Like, somebody says something about someone or about their partner, their boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, and then they come into school and, like, what you say about me? And then just fight break out. But
so it initiates online. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Almost all online initiation
Because it's like, I mean, nowadays it's so much easier to, you know, vent and like rant about someone, something that they've done or something that they said, because like when you're in your front of your computer, it's just, you're not seeing that person. You don't have to like face the, you know, consequences or repercussions of whatever you're saying to that person in their face. So it's just easier for a lot of people to say this stuff online rather than in person.
Keyboard warriors.
Exactly. But yeah.
But yeah, back on the privacy issue, like, did you guys hear like the pushback against like facial recognition software?
Yeah, I'd read a couple stuff on it. It's crazy how like China specifically, how like they're so advanced in their facial technology. They like literally hunting down these Hong Kong protesters with all these cameras that have installed and they have installed around the city.
That is actually very crazy if you think about it, because like our day to day, since we don't live there, we don't really like take notice of it. But like I remember watching a video specifically about that like a few months ago, and I was shocked to see like that level of like CCTV and like facial recognition technology that they have there, literally at the street corner where it's like, or the light. It would literally detect not just your face, but like the color of your shirt, the color of your pants, your glasses, your shoes and whatnot, and would literally like detect you there. And it's insane because obviously we don't live there, so we don't have to experience it, thankfully. But like they're literally living like that.
Yeah.
And their government has like pretty much every single piece of information about them.
It's crazy because it can even recognize you with a mask on. Like that doesn't even help. Like they've taken to using like laser pointers to like blast the systems and overload them so that they can't be recognized. But
those laser pointers are actually strong as fuck.
They are. They can blind someone.
And
directly in the eye.
A little bit less of an extreme example of that sort of nature would probably be like London, because they have
London is complete CCTV.
Yeah.
If you commit a crime in London, they'll track you down from where you commit the crime to anywhere else in London. Exactly. Like, they have perfect, almost perfect, like, security in London when it comes to, like, CCTVs. You can't commit a crime and not get caught if you don't leave London. Like once you leave London, there's not as many cameras, but like for the whole city, they'll be able to track you the whole time. So it's not so much like the crime rates are low, but like the arrest rates for crime, for like theft and stuff, is higher than most places.
Yeah, like I remember watching a Nightscape video.
Oh,
and,
I got you. Yeah.
The cops basically like were on his tail a little bit because he was on an abandoned building. And him and his friends like got away, and like they got away like fairly far away from where they were originally. And about like half an hour later, the cops just show up and it's like, how the hell did they track him down there? Like, we don't know, but obviously they have that information.
Yeah,
that's
and
crazy.
For yeah, example,
Bernie Sanders is
the CC
trying to make
system.
It not be implemented in America. Like, and a bunch of tech companies actually said they're gonna stop developing facial recognition software.
Yeah, I saw a couple headlines about that.
Why is that?
Because of the danger it poses on people.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, governments can take it over, you know, and use it for whatever purpose they want. Like, in China, for example, using it against peaceful protesters. So there's a big pushback on using it.
Yeah, like, so speaking about, like, the whole, like, surveillance and stuff, Emmer actually mentioned, like, showed, like, a video or something to the group chat before. He was talking about, the video was talking about how there's... a police department someplace out west in the country, they're using these drones and they're flying over people's like backyards and like their property to see who's observing the CDC's like warnings, quarantines and like the CDC's guidelines for like wearing masks and like proper protective gear and stuff. And I mean, although it's only really in this police department and maybe a couple other, I can see this really getting out of hand quickly, but at the same time, like, still stay under the radar because it's more of, like, people sacrificing more of, like, their privacy for something that they feel like is going to benefit so much more than that privacy that they're giving up.
It's sort of like that argument that people have where it's, like, if you aren't doing anything wrong, you have nothing to hide, right? So some people have this mindset that like, it's perfectly fine for them to look and observe and take my face. Like, I'm not going to commit any crime anyway. Who cares if they have that? And then there's the other side. It's like, yeah, it's okay for now, but it depends where the government goes and what problems that will cause later. Like, you're sort of trusting the government's not going to do anything bad with
it. It's running on, like, COBOL.
When you never know who else could use it. Or, you know, the government could even get hacked. Like, the government has terrible
security. Yeah, the government works so slow. Yeah, it uses, like, old technology, and the government always takes a while just to update with the new latest technology because they have to go through so much paperwork and bureaucracy. Like, the...
like, how many people's emails have gotten hacked? All these senators and all these people. Like, everyone's emails keeps getting hacked.
Yeah, and, like, it's no surprise. I mean, they shouldn't be doing this, but it's no surprise that some politicians are using private servers to keep a lot of information safe. Because, like, private servers, at least, at the very least, you can at least see the protection that's in place as opposed to being on a public server. But, like, at the same time... you guys remember back a couple years ago when the FBI was trying to ask Apple to unlock one of their iPhones that they...
I was just about to mention that.
Yeah. Like, that's insane. They were literally asking Apple to either create them, like, some sort of backdoor software so they can access the... or bypass the passcode or the facial recognition just so they can access the phone because it was, like, a criminal's phone that they got. And... I feel like, I mean, I'm glad Apple didn't give them the information, but like if they were to do that, for example, then that would like pave way for other situations where like if you have like a small misdemeanor, like a petty crime that was committed and then the police departments get a hold of their devices, then they're going to start looking through all these people's devices just because they're under investigation. And like, even if it's that investigation comes out to be, you know, the person's not guilty of doing that crime, or even if it was someone that was actually not supposed to be investigated, they got the wrong person. Now all of their data is possibly stored on these police department servers that can potentially get hacked and their information can be stolen. And like at the same time, even if it doesn't get stolen, I don't want my information to be accessible by some random person that I don't know, like even at the police department.
I mean, it's even the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, you know, the protects the right of privacy against unreasonable searches.
And that still isn't followed
properly. Like, they can't just search whatever you want just because you've been arrested. But it's crazy that you talk about like the Apple facial recognition, because when that came out, there was no laws on the books that prevented cops from opening your phone using it. So they would arrest people, hold the phone up to their faces, and then search through it, because like if it's on, like if your phone is unlocked and you've been arrested, they can technically
search it.
So they were purposely unlocking it using the face and be like, oh, look, the phone's unlocked, and we're searching it until the laws finally caught up and like made that not allowed. But there was a time, I think that was a recent thing that they finally made a law over. That's why, like, I don't have any facial recognition on my phone. I don't want it to know my face. I don't have the finger recognition either. Just, I keep it on the
past. Well, I'm pretty sure Apple's been working pretty hard at that, when the face recognition. So, isn't it where, like, right. If you close your eyes, it won't even recognize your face?
It won't unlock your phone. Yeah. And Google just released an update to do that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so like that's like a quick get around if like someone or like a police officer, somebody tries to unlock your phone by just using your face, because like, well, I know that can be extreme. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but let me just finish this last thought. Like the like if it's like not even just police officers, but like for example, you have like, I don't know, like a crazy boyfriend or girlfriend, and like while you're sleeping, they're just like trying to look through your phone and snoop through it.
Yeah, bigger like, problems about
what, like, is this a big worry of yours, Yusuf?
It can be anybody. Sense, not even just that. Like, what if it's like a crazy parent, though? Like, you're a teenager, your parent wants to go through your phone, but you have a passcode on there, and like they try to unlock it while you're sleeping. But if your eyes are closed and it doesn't register, then that's a big plus. Like, that's good on these companies that are implementing stuff like that.
What if they sleep with their eyes open?
Yeah, like Apple is like surprisingly pretty good with like the privacy measures. Like, it's always like pretty much a step ahead, which is very good. I mean,
do we know where they store the faces, though? Like, that's a big worry of mine. Like, do they have a database where they have all of our faces somewhere?
What they claim?
Nah, I think it's actually stored on the phone, isn't it? It's
probably locally stored.
A lot of their things are locally stored, and a lot of things are also like randomly identified numbers where it's like even they can't even access. Like, when you, for instance, if you forget your iCloud password and you have like two-factor authentication, or like if somebody sells you, for instance, like a stolen iPhone and it's iCloud locked, and you obviously don't know the password for that, you can't really reset it because it will still be iCloud locked. And even if you go to Apple and be like, hey, this is iCloud locked, I bought it, I was scammed, even Apple themselves can't like fix that for you. Like, that's how deep their like privacy is ingrained, which is pretty impressive, to be honest. And they have like their whole. Yeah. Sorry. No, go ahead.
I know that like fingerprints were never accessible by anybody besides the owner of the phone, basically, or you know the hardware itself. So I think they would carry that same philosophy into facial recognition.
Right, that's good to know. Yeah. I purposely didn't set it up just in case. It's the whole police issue, but I was like, I don't know where this goes.
Yeah. I would.
What are you gonna get arrested for, though?
You can get arrested for anything, for protesting, for doing whatever. Like, there's a million reasons.
You never
to get
know
arrested.
These days with the cops here, but.
Damn.
But I would look more into that.
I mean, it may
just
kind
like the
of
more
brown,
like
so.
Secure, like authentication you have for your phone, it's like obviously the more secure it is and the less like millions of possibilities there is to unlock it rather than just passcode.
And they're even trying to like make it even more privacy friendly, because I know I just got an update on my phone, and you can literally, there's an option on the lock screen, not on the lock screen, but you basically hold down the power button and it lets you lock down your phone so that like nobody can access it besides you, based off of, I think it's either a password or something. So it just completely locks out any other type of way to unlock your phone.
It's pretty incredible what they're doing now, because it makes you feel more secure, even though they're obviously doing a lot of like data collection. At the same time, the privacy aspect of that is important, because they know everybody cares about their privacy and they don't want to impede on that. So they obviously do their best to secure anything. Like, for instance, like nowadays, unlike back then, nowadays when you install apps on your phone, it'll ask for permission, for contact permission, location permission, even Bluetooth permission now, or like camera permission. Like, that's pretty impressive because you don't want or need, or microphone access is the most important, I would say. It's like you don't want or need every single app like requesting for that information.
So while at the same time they are collecting your data, they're also making great efforts to keep your privacy secure. So, I mean, I just want to know what you guys think. Like, if a company has your data secured within their own like servers where nobody can really access it but them, would you guys prefer that if, like, you know, the convenience is there for you but they still have your data and it's secure? Or would you rather just not have them collect more data?
I think it depends on the data that's being collected.
Right.
I'm okay if it's like something that's like, you know, menial. I mean, then again, it's subjective what you
like feel. Your location, where you're going, not that. Where you're coming, where you sleep.
No, I mean, like, if they, my age or whatever, like, I don't care if people know how old I am, or like something like my height or something, or like other information that I feel like is just whatever. Like, I don't care if people know. It's not gonna really be able to use it.
How tall are you, Yusuf?
Pretty sure I'm 5'11 and a half. But yeah, I just think it just depends on the specific type of data. And like I said, it just depends on person to person which data they decide is not really important.
I mean, yeah, like as long as the convenience there, I'm for it. You know, you can have my... You can have my data, bro. Like,
that's fair, bro. I mean... It's fair, I'll sell your entire soul.
Yeah, I know, and I mean, I'm not advocating it. Obviously, it's important to keep yourself safe and, you know, not make yourself, you know, an easy target, you know. But I don't know, man. I guess the convenience is just the biggest thing for most people. But you proposed that idea with, you know, having your data secure and no other outside sources can, you know, interact with that. That, I mean, that sounds good to me. You know what I mean? Like, as long as that one, you know, whatever that entity is keeping that data to themselves, then, you know, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, Mendy still has a Snapchat location activated, so I can still see.
Mendy just wants to get that one.
Listen,
bro, I'm devoting my time to this session, and then I'll fix that after this.
I'll fix it too. I'm always too lazy.
Oh, it's like the Snapchat police. He's just like, your location is still on.
He checks it every day to see where everyone's going. He's collecting our data right now, dude.
Emmett, bro. I told you, dude. Bro,
he works for the FBI or something.
Dude, he's the founder of Temple. Yahoo. He's using Temple's research.
He still uses Facebook. Like,
I just miss you guys. So it's nice to know where you guys are some across the country. Now I can be like, oh, I've been in that neighborhood.
I just realized, yeah, like, it's not like you just randomly open up your, like, the location accidentally and, like, you see Mendy. You literally have to open it up knowingly and look over towards the other side of the country. Dude, you're literally
going to Pennsylvania to see which one of my friends still have the location on. But yeah, for me, I don't know. Like, the problem is, like, even if the company's storing itself,
for that reason,
they have that data and they can use it any way they please. Like, you're sort of trusting their word that we're just going to keep it internally. But, like, they could sell it and make lots of money off of it, like, for ad revenues, for all this stuff. Like, it's very, like, good data to sell and make money off of, because, like, if you're an advertiser, right, you want to know where people are who are interested in your product, right? Like, let's say you have iPhones, right, and you can see who has photos of Nike shoes, right, for example, uploaded on their cloud, and then you can use that data to be like, all right, this city really loves Nike shoes, let's advertise in this city for our new Nike shoes, because we know all these people take photos with our shoes.
I was listening to another podcast actually, like, a few months ago, and that's essentially how Snapchat was able to finally get profit, or its money, I should say. Well, sort of similar to that, where, like, they were, you know, taking a loss, even though their user base was growing. But all of a sudden, like, advertisers came in and, you know, so they were like, hey, this is a big opportunity. This is how we could make our money. We'll advertise, like, the location services also, or, like, the filters and whatnot. Based on your location, like you said, like, they'll be able to, like, collaborate with that. And people use their fun filters or post their location, like how it says the city you're at or the even restaurant that you're at. And they'll use that for the ad money and the revenue, essentially, and collaborate with advertisers, which is pretty interesting.
And they now have a full page dedicated to content that is being advertised. So
yeah, so I don't know.
It's like random ass content too. Like a lot of people, like usually like ads are catered towards the person that's the user. But the thing is, I'm getting like content on my Snapchat that I don't even look for, like legitimately. Like it will be like stuff that has to do with like these random ass like influencers and like TikTok and whatnot. Or it'll be like some random articles about like Trump or something like that. Like I literally don't look up any of these things, and like they're just bombarding me with all this stuff. I feel like they're just taking like me as like a general person, like just like a male in his 20s, and they're like, this is what other male exactly. Males in their 20s like, and they just like start throwing that at me and see whichever one sticks to the wall, and like whichever one does, and they'll start going off of that and even sending more of that kind of content.
And they base it off of what you click, so that is also like stored, and maybe they'll have like, you know, attributes based on your account where it's like, oh, this person's interested in sports or politics or whatever, and they'll know like a lot about you. In fact, companies probably know more about you guys than I do myself, so for some of them. So
yeah, probably. All right, guys, well, we got through a lot in this little podcast, first episode. Talked about the security, data collection, all that kind of stuff. Is there any last points you guys wanted to add? If not, I think we can call it there.
Speak now or forever hold your tongue.
Yeah, it was an awesome discussion, guys. I learned a lot just within the hour. Yeah. Quite eye-opening.
It's good knowing like what everybody else thinks of it, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
All right. And I guess on that note, we have been the Deep Thought Podcast, and we're signing off.
Peace out.
Have a nice day, guys.
Bye.
Later.